for joining us here in the call today. We are very pleased and proud to have with us here today two of the medalists from today's Women's 10K freestyle event here at the Nordic World Ski Championships in Falun, Sweden. We're going to begin with Caitlin Gregg, the bronze medalist today, and then continue with Jesse Diggins, the silver medalist. So Caitlin Gregg with us here, and actually a very snowy night, just completing the medal ceremony. Caitlin, I know this has been a storybook day for you. Maybe share some of your thoughts here now that you've actually received your medal, the bronze medal, from the Women's 10K.
Yeah, hi everyone. This is an incredible experience. It's definitely a accumulation of many, many years of hard work from my end, but also from the entire Team USA's end. Today our skis were fantastic, and we were brought to the start line with everything in our hands to make this moment possible. And I feel really fortunate that I had the opportunity to race. And again, sometimes you start some of these races and you just feel amazing, and things really fall into place. And so it's a great day for U.S. skiing, and for the future of U.S. skiing as well.
Caitlin, talk us through a little bit. I know you work with a lot of kids in the Minneapolis area with your club. I know you've been hearing from friends and family back home, but talk a little bit about the impact that this has had on the sport back in Minneapolis, your home now, and also in America.
I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be for the sport and for the program Lockett Nordic Racing that I work with back in Minneapolis. I just posted a blog about how much training and working with all of my teammates and following their success has brought me to this moment and to this opportunity that I've had to showcase my best for the world. And it's so incredible to now be able to share that with them and to hopefully watch them start to make more history in the years to come. Brian, my husband, Brian Gregg, and I also work with a number of at-risk youth, underprivileged kids in North Minneapolis, where we actually live. And for them, our message has always been to believe in yourself and to set big dreams. And even though the odds might be stacked against them and they feel like, that life is throwing them a lot of challenges, we've always tried to encourage them and say, you have to try to believe in yourself and you have to dig deep. And it's a roller coaster of a trip, but I hope that this is something that I can share with them and continue to inspire them and have great things come from that. So this means a lot to me on a lot of different levels. But for sure, the first thing I think about is all the kids and the youth that I work with back in Minneapolis. It's something I hope to share and bring much more from with them.
Great. Thanks, Caitlin. Do we have any questions from the media? And if you could please state your name and media affiliation, and one at a time, if we could, please.
Hey, Tom, this is Peter Oliver from Vermont. Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Caitlin, this is Peter Oliver from Vermont. Nolies, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you, Peter?
Great. Hey, I just wanted to, you guys were talking about Minnesota and Minneapolis, but we know you started skiing in Vermont. I just wondered if you could do me a favor and try to connect what happened today with growing up skiing in Vermont, particularly at Nolies.
Yeah, Olies was a huge part of my success. I skied both at Blueberry Lake, which is just across the way, and Olies growing up. And Olies, which is in Warren, Vermont, where I lived, provided me the opportunity to train there and actually to work there. I worked in the ski shop. I worked serving soups, and I taught lessons. And in exchange, I was able to get support for my races and get clothing and equipment. And obviously, that makes a big difference for a young skier coming up through the ranks. And without that support, I don't think I would have been able to continue racing. And so I won my first junior national championship working at Olies and training there day after day. And that's definitely been always on my mind as kind of the beginning of this journey for myself.
Thanks, Kayla.
Kayla, this is Peggy Shin with TeamUSA.org. I'm also in Vermont. Since Nationals in Michigan in January, where have you been training and with whom, and when did you find out you made the world team?
Since Nationals, I contracted a virus this fall. I had shingles, and not really sure what that would mean for my results. I knew that it was sort of a painful and somewhat uncomfortable condition to have, but I knew that it wasn't contagious, and I really didn't know what it meant for my season. But I tried to be positive and tried to make the most of my opportunity as the Continental Cup leader in Europe. And I went back and trained for a little bit in Hayward, Wisconsin, before Nationals. And Nationals went well. And from there, I didn't know where my season was going to be. So my husband and I made a decision. We've traveled to altitude in the past, and that's been a really positive addition to our training regime. And so we had an opportunity to stay with the family in Frisco, Colorado. And so we've been training and living in Frisco, Colorado for the past 4 weeks. And I found out, pretty much the second day I got there that I was going to be representing the U.S. here at the World Championship. So that was kind of a fun thing to find out.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear, what disease did you have in the fall that you contracted?
I had a virus, it's called shingles.
Oh, shingles, okay, yes, I know that, I just didn't hear it, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Peggy. Any other questions for Caitlin?
Yes, this is Rachel Worth from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Caitlin, could you take us through your race? Tell us how it all developed for you today.
Today was an incredible day. I've been feeling really good all week. I haven't had the opportunity to race yet, but I had the opportunity to really target this race as my big day. And so I was really fortunate. My husband, Brian Gregg, who represented the U.S. at the Sochi Olympics last year, he traveled all the way from Minnesota. He just finished racing the American Birkebeiner 2 days ago. He flew all the way over here to Sweden, and he was able to come out with me this morning and warm up and test skis and really help me be in the perfect mindset to have my best day. And there's something about that familiarity that's pretty magical. And so, we together our team, Greg, and together we came here, and we were pretty happy with what happened. As far as my race today, I had a really solid plan. I raced here last fall for the World Cup Finals. And so I knew the courses and I knew the trails, and I've been studying them and studying the type of terrain that they have and the type of improvements I need to make from last fall to today. And, to be honest, our Wax Techs did an incredible job with our skis, and that makes my job as an athlete way easier. And so, there might have been a little bit of luck of the draw, too. I ended up with an early bib, which at the beginning I thought would be a disadvantage, not getting much feedback out there on the course, but in the end, with the changing conditions, it turned out to be a huge advantage, and I'm glad that I had everything else in mind to take advantage of that and to really, still perform and still bring my best performance out and capitalize on getting a medal.
This has been a long time coming for you. How meaningful is it to you to create U.S. history, particularly in a year where you also had to overcome your illness?
Yeah, I think that for sure athletes, it's not uncommon. I know a lot of athletes who have had injuries or who have had illnesses or setbacks, and I think I've always looked up to those athletes in the sense that they've really risen to the occasion and they've really stayed, if you will, steadfast and really pushed through and used it as a little bit of a way to even work harder. I think that, anytime you see an athlete have a setback and they reevaluate and they readjust and look forward, it's a very inspiring moment. And so for sure I've had the opportunity to witness that many times on this team. The Team USA group, and I've carried that with me, and when it needed to be for me, it was it was a nice confidence knowing that other athletes had been in similar positions and done wonderful things. And I think that, you know, in terms of my career and the longevity of my career, obviously this is a great thing to have happen towards the end of my career. Well, I shouldn't say the end, but later in my career. But I think that the, you know, all of the qualities of perseverance and you know, staying in the belief that you can achieve your goals and dreaming big, which is a motto that my husband and I use a lot with the kids in North Minneapolis, to help them through their difficulties is all true right now. And you know, even when the results weren't coming in that I was hoping for, I think that, you know, keeping yourself in a good mindset and keeping those dreams alive is the most important thing, because it can all come together for you.
Great. Caitlin, we want to thank you very much, and stand by if you could. We want to put Jesse Diggins on the phone, and Caitlin, if you could pass the phone over to Jesse right now. Jesse Diggins, congratulations on your silver medal, gold medal 2 years ago in the team sprint, but this one is very, very special, isn't it?
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks. It is just an unbelievable day. It's still sinking in for sure. I think that this is really crazy because it's so different than 2 years ago when we came in as maybe the favorites with a lot of pressure, and I was able to take my cues from Keegan, which was perfect, and this time around it was so unexpected, and I was charging for it, and I was hoping and, you know, giving it my all, but it definitely came as a, like, the best surprise ever to end the day with the silver medal at the World Championships and to be able to make history with, alongside Caitlin on the podium. It's just been a really, really cool experience.
Jesse, you were given an opportunity today, and talk a little bit about how you seized that opportunity, talk about your skis and all of the other elements that had to go in place for you to take advantage of what opportunity you had here in the 10K.
Yeah, I mean, every single race you ever do is always this opportunity. I love looking at it like that, looking at it as a challenge, not like, oh gosh, I hope I don't screw it up. This is a chance for me to go out there and ski so hard and maybe do something amazing. And today, we have the hardest working team out there, I think. We definitely get the most bang for the buck. We got a bunch of racks that are working day in, day out, getting up so early to give up such good skis. And I'm so proud of them. And when I came out there on the start line, I mean, I was kind of, my bid number was kind of, it was a good bid because I was near the front of the seated group, but still in the middle. And as it started snowing, I thought, okay, this is an opportunity for me. And, you know, our coach once told us, if there's a window of opportunity open, you can't just sneak through it. You got to drive a Mack truck through it. You just got to go. And so I was just charging with every little bit that I had. And, I mean, when I crossed the finish line, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. But it's this really cool thing that all the pieces came together today. And that's the really unique thing of cross-country ski racing, is that it's you, it's your body, it's your mind. You have to be mentally, physically on it. And then your team has to also put all the pieces together. And to have fast skis and all my equipment there and to have amazing wax on those skis, it's so cool to see it all come together today.
Thanks, Jesse. Do we have questions from the media?
Don Cardona from Universal Sports Network here. First, a question for Jesse, and then Caitlin, if you could answer the same one. How does this performance at the Worlds affect the perception of the U.S. Nordic skiers outside the U.S.?
I mean, I think that the last couple years, people have started to look more seriously at the U.S. team and maybe look twice. And I think that, you know, the girls ahead of us have done an amazing job getting that, starting that momentum. There's a lot of skiers that have been pushing the sport forward, like Keegan with when she first started winning World Cups and then winning the Globes, and then, you know, Liz getting fit and mature to ski, and like so many people have been pushing the sport forward to create today's opportunities. And It's really cool because now people from other countries are, you know, thinking, okay, it's really cool. We have training camps on the U.S. ski team where other nations come to train with us. And this summer we have a Norwegian skier and we teamed up with some of the Swedish girls before. So it's really neat to see other countries definitely thinking that we're worth training with.
Other questions from the media?
Hey, Jesse, it's Peggy Shane. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Peggy.
Just a quick question. Have you put more, can you talk about distance racing this year? Because we've, you know, kind of known you as a sprinter, although you have done a lot of 10Ks up until now. Can you just talk about if you put any more emphasis on it this year?
I guess I don't really think of myself as a sprinter, but my best result so far in the World Cup has been fifth in both distance and sprint events. So I think that for me today, I was thinking, you know, why not me on the warm-up? You know, I've trained so hard, and I haven't put more emphasis on distance. This year, I just trained basically the way I've always trained, but I upped my hours for sure, and maybe almost too much. I was getting tired in the fall, but it was, so I guess, I don't know, I haven't really changed too much about the training, but and during warm-up today, I just kept thinking, you know, like, this day belongs to me just as much as anyone else, and I'm just going to go out there and give it everything I have, and maybe that will be enough for something amazing.
Other questions?
Hey, Jesse, it's freelance. Welcome from the Star Tribune.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you? I'm doing so great.
I'm sure you are. And it sounds from the story on the U.S. ski team website like it was a very dramatic race with the snow coming down and the coaches running alongside you hollering that you were in it. Can you describe that whole scene for us, about how your race unfolded, especially over the last 3 kilometers?
Yeah. Part of my goals for the day were to just charge from the gun and to just go as hard as I could. And it was so cool because I was getting split from our coaches. They were so psyched. They were just yelling and running next to me. And so I thought, okay, I must be having a good one. But then coaches from other teams were yelling too. And, like, the Swedish and Norwegian coaches were, like, giving me splits and, oh, you're in the lead by X many seconds right now. And it was so cool to have that kind of momentum. And a lot of the parents from my teammates are here as well on the course, and I heard them, and it was so cool just to have all that energy. And I definitely, when I hear people getting fired up, it fires me up because, you know, there's so many points out there on the course where I'd be in the middle of attacking a hill and my legs were burning and my lungs were burning, and I felt like, I mean, it's just a lot of pain that I was in, but I was able to just believe that if I kept pushing through it, I wouldn't fall over, and I would definitely make this finish line. So I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And but it was, yeah, the last 3K, it was definitely a crazy scene out there because it was snowing so hard I could barely see on the downhills. And luckily I had yellow lenses in, but I almost fell coming into the stadium because it was getting so soft on the corners. I just managed to stay upright and make it through the finish line.
Okay, we have time for maybe one more question.
Thank you. This is Josh Shipley from the St. Paul paper.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yes. When you talk about feeling good this morning just mentally and, hey, why not me, I'm guessing you feel that way before a lot of races. Was it any different this time?
I think one big difference was that for world champs, you start tapering beforehand, right? And you rest a lot, and hopefully you'll be on your absolute best form. And so in the team sprint, it was my first race, and I was feeling so good. And that was such a good confidence boost to feel like, okay, I am in maybe the best shape of my life right now. And my technique is better than it's ever been, and my equipment is so good, and I'm so ready. And so this morning, it was kind of one of those things where I always think, you know, okay, here's my chance, I got the charge. But this morning, it was one of those things where I really was believing, hey, I really have an opportunity here. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm rested, I'm ready, and I want this so badly. And I've been getting so many emails from home and, of course, Skyping my parents a lot. And I got this email actually last night from one of my high school coach's daughters. Her name is Siri, and she has just this amazing email about how everyone in Minnesota is now wearing glitter because of the end, about how she was so inspired and that she was proud to be my friend. And I was like, no, that is what it's about. It's about, like, inspiring all these young girls to just get out there and to just charge and to, you know, have fun with the sport and glitter up for their races, the things. Like crazy, and I was just feeling like so inspired and wanting to be able to give back to Minnesota and inspire people like they've been inspiring me, and it just got me so fired up. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, Jesse, thank you very much. We also, I believe, have Coach Matt Whitcomb on the line, so please, folks, stay on the line if you could. I'd like to, again, congratulate Caitlin Gregg and Jesse Diggins. Great finish here today. They need to get a ride back to the hotel, and we'll continue with Coach Whitcomb here in just a second. Okay, Matt Whitcomb, are you on the line?
I am, yes.
Okay, great. Matt, congratulations. Great finish here today. I know as a coach it's a very special time when you see all of the pieces fall together, and there were a lot of pieces that had to fall in place for this to happen today. Can you talk a little bit about the day, and in particular, without giving away too many secrets, some of the strategies that you guys put in to the preparation of these skis today?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks everyone for the interest. Makes me really proud to listen to these interview responses because they are both so distinctly selfless. And these are two athletes that really get the big picture, and I feel like they appreciate everyone from their parents to the reporters that are telling the story to their teammates. And just gives me goosebumps much more than even the results do. Today was certainly a challenging day. You'll see a lot in the media about the snow, about the snowstorm coming in untimely ways. But in reality, there's no outdoor cross-country ski race that has ever been consistent from the beginning to the end. And so today wasn't as different or difficult as the papers in Norway and Sweden will make it seem. What happened today was you had a couple athletes step up to the plate, swing really hard, and connect. And they ended up on the podium as well as in 10th and 15th. So, yeah, the conditions were difficult, but what's more difficult is to have to ski in them. And they made it work when others perhaps struggled a little bit.
Sorry, I didn't come up. Do you have any questions from the media? Sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah, Matt, this is Peggy Chin with TeamUSA.org. Congratulations. Can you talk more about the team atmosphere and, you know, Caitlin really hasn't been part of the group and how maybe that team atmosphere inspired her and bringing her into the group?
Yeah, you know, On paper, Caitlin hasn't been a part of the group, but she's been at a number of camps over the years. It's a very small community, and so it's absolutely true. She has not been on the U.S. ski team, but from a coach's perspective, we have seen Caitlin on so many occasions over the years, and this result today, while it's a lifetime best result, we've seen Caitlin ski this way before. And so, yeah, I'm ecstatic. I'm a little bit surprised that she was able to time it so well and make it happen today. But it's really not that surprising. Caitlin is this good at cross-country skiing, and it's the same with Jesse. We've seen this level of performance, and both of them were able to just put it together on the fourth day of World Championships.
Thanks. Any other questions from the media?
I have one. This is John Shipley from the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Hi, John.
Jesse's from. And congratulations. Can you tell, you know, Jesse's been good for a long time, and she seems to keep rising. How close do you think she is to reaching her potential?
Well, potential is a scary word. You know, it's something that gets redefined every day. This is certainly one of those moments that will forever, for Jesse and this team, be a best ever, or right there with the best ever. So it is incredibly hard to improve upon this. What you can do is achieve these results with more consistency, and I think Jesse is the type of athlete. She's young, and with time, more years of great training log, we'll be able to tie together more top-end performances from period one all the way through the championships and in the Spring World Cup. We've seen much more than flashes of brilliance out of Jesse over the years in both sprint and distance. And so while this may be some of the best she could possibly ever do because this is at World Championships, I think we'll start seeing it more often. To follow up with Peggy just a little bit, I neglected to really complete the answer. You know, team chemistry has so much to do with athletes competing well. Our philosophy is you get the team right and the results can happen. And you all saw the video produced before the World Championships by Jesse and the rest of the team. And people would occasionally give us a little flack saying, hey, why don't you focus in on World Championships? But in reality, that's what we're doing. We're trying to get the team right, trying to take the minds perhaps a little bit away from World Championships to lighten the mood at our training camp in Davos. And the end result was a team that was so locked together in terms of chemistry that it just made everything about being in a new hotel, in a very stressful environment with difficult conditions, with new people, it made it all easy. So that team chemistry question that Peggy asks is the root of this all, is the foundation. It's as good as it's ever been.
Hey, Matt, to follow up on that, can you talk a little bit about the project that you've initiated with the team, too, on the women's side, to look back at some of the past champions in the sport, Olympic champions and medalists and other great stars of the sport, to learn from them?
Absolutely, yeah. We've begun to manage our alumni database a bit and intend to create a history of who's really paved this path that these current women continue to pave. And over the last 12 Olympics, since the women, since USOC sent a team to the 1972 games, there have only been 12 games since then, and about 47, I think it is, different females to be on these teams, among which we have many of them on this current squad right now. And so the goal is to become experts on the history of who has laid out this great groundwork for us so that we can pick it up effectively and continue to pave the way.
Okay, any final questions for Matt? If not, we thank you very much for... Go ahead.
Is this the first distance podium at World Championships since Bill Koch?
Yes, it is.
So I'm not answering.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much. Thanks for everybody who was on the call. If you did not get on the entire call, we will have a copy of it up on our SoundCloud site shortly. Again, thank you very much for participating today, and congratulations to Jesse and Caitlin on a great performance here today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.